God designed the communion to bring healing to your body. That is why I want to send you this easy-to-read resource completely free. We have received many praise reports from believers around the world who have experienced the healing power of the communion. I really want that for you too. Make sure you request this resource today.
Call or click right now to receive your free copy of Joseph Prince's Eating Your Way to Wholeness, a practical guide to the Holy Communion.
So when people make fun of you as a believer, mock you, every time you are humiliated, every time there's shame, God will see to it you are vindicated. When He appears in glory, you appear with Him in glory.
True grace transforms lives. It saves and liberates people. It breaks bondages and has the power to help us live a victorious, God-glorifying life. In today's message, Joseph Prince answers some questions you might have about the gospel of grace. Is grace just another message that's too good to be true? Stay tuned to find out more. What is true grace? Is it a dangerous doctrine? Does it promote a license to sin? In his book, Will the Real Gospel Please Stand Up?, Joseph Prince addresses controversies and misconceptions surrounding the gospel of grace. Curious to find out more? Get your copy today for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Call or text the number on your screen or visit our website to get yours now. And now, here is Pastor Joseph Prince with today's program.
The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was given by a servant. Grace and truth came by the Son. We are not under Moses. We are under Christ. We are not under law. We are under grace. We are not under demand. We are under supply. Even the supply for holiness, the supply for a victorious life. Give them Galatians 3, the passage. Look at verse 11 and 12, the comparison. That no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith. The law is not of faith. If you are under law, your faith cannot operate. But those under law, the man who does them, who keeps the law, the man who performs them, the man who does them, will live by them. So you got two lifestyles here. One is the righteous by faith will live. The other one is the one who performs all the commandments, mind you, it must be all, will live. In other words, if you can keep all the commandments, you will live. The way of grace is, if you believe you are righteous by faith, you will live. What faith is this? We got to believe we are justified by faith. We believe that we are righteous by faith. Whereas those under law, they never come to a place they believe they are righteous. They are still performing. They live every day like God is angry. Then they do things, God is pleased. Then it's like the story of the Jewish religion in the Old Covenant, where it's still a failing saying. Fail, cleanse. And people think Christian life is like that. It's not like that. We are not like that. We are cleansed. Listen carefully. There's a bath that's once and for all. There is a daily washing of our feet. Where, as right now even, I'm washing away the dust. But it's not cleansing for your regeneration. It's a cleansing away the dust that makes you sin conscious. That makes you feel like, you know, you're an orphan spirit calling God, oh God, oh God, an orphan spirit. No, you must have a spirit of sonship saying, Abba, Father. Now, listen carefully what I'm going to say, okay? I'm going to say this carefully. When we are in the presence of God, God does not see sin on us. Even though we have sin in us, God does not see sin on us. In terms of our relationship with Him, there's no sin on us. Even though, even today, we still have sin in us. But with God, there's no sin on us in His eyes. You got to live like that. And listen. Don't clap. You're taking my time. Listen. All right? And you must know that you are constantly in God's presence. You must know this. We have this idea when we pray, we come near to God. God is still a distance away. Some people are not at home in God's presence. If I tell you right now, you are right now in the Holy of Holies. How do you feel? Oh, Pastor Prince, I think the light is too bright. It will expose my... No, if you think that way, you're under law. You're still under law. You must have this mentality. Yes, God is light and the light shines on me, but the light shines on me to show how wonderfully clean I am by the blood of Jesus. How the spotless purity of Jesus has been placed on me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. His light only exposes the work of Jesus in my life. And God wants you to be in His presence, honoring the work of Christ as if there is no sin. Now I said, I repeat, people like to take some things I say and then run off. There is still sin in us and in Pastor Prince, but there's no sin on us before God. Okay? You understand that? Whenever you see, you don't have to fight yourself, pump yourself into a prayer mode to pray for people like you're driving down the road, this is an accident or whatever. You don't have to get right. You don't have to, you know, you must know you're always in the Holy of Holies. When you go to work, you carry the Holy of Holies with you. You are in the presence of God. You should feel at home. He's Father. You are Son. Amen. And if you fail, it's okay to confess your sin to your father and say, I did wrong or whatever. But don't wallow in it. I don't believe in confessing to be forgiven. I believe we confess our sin because we are forgiven. Now, look at this. This is what I want you to see. This one is more serious. It says here, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. But here it says, for as many, not one will escape, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Have you ever read this verse slowly? Because many people still think this verse is saying, as many as break the law. It does not say that. It does not say as many as break the law under the curse. It says as many as are off the works of the law. As many are on the law ground. As many as are the principle of the law. Straight away under the curse. Why? Because you're supposed to keep everything. Not just the best of it. Not the best that you can. Not as much as you can. You're supposed to keep, continue in all things. Or else you are cursed. So the moment you take the position of the law, bang, you're under the curse. Even a Christian can come under this curse because the word there is present tense. The moment you take the position of the law for blessings, for righteousness, for sanctification, bang, you come under the curse. You're either righteous by faith or you're under the curse the moment you take the position of the law. If you're on law ground, you are cursed. There's no other way. You know? The law cannot be the law. The law is not the law if the law doesn't curse. The law is not the law if the law bends at your level. The law is the law if the law is the law, or else it's not the law. You have to come up to his level. And the law says you must keep everything or else I'll curse you. It's not good enough to say, I did my best. But I guess my best. The law doesn't understand that song. You must continue in all things, or else you're cursed. So I submit to people who don't understand why Pastor Prince is burdened to preach this message and why I believe that grace revolution is happening all over the world. It's because God wants His people blessed and not cursed. I'll tell you something, okay? If you are thinking that, Pastor Prince, what about people that you mentioned just now, one or two or a few, that comes to church. They're not majority, Pastor, but I know of people who left their wives and they go with another woman. They are living in sin. In fact, for nearly a year now or a few months or whatever. Pastor Prince, it sounds like they're, you know, they're having a time of day and they're okay. What do you say to that, Pastor Prince? You see, we don't back away from the message because somebody abused it. Let me just say this to you, okay? There are only two reasons I will give you about that scenario. If there's a so-called Christian who is now living in sin, all right, he left his wife, he's living in sin, okay? There are only two scenarios. Number one is that he was never a Christian in the first place. A pastor, he was a deacon in church. I don't care, deacon or demon, all right? He was never safe. All right, going to McDonald's don't make you a Big Mac. All right, going to a garage don't make you a car. Going to church don't make you a Christian. So, I submit to you, most likely he's not a Christian. Like the pig that went wallowing in the mire in Peter, it's still a pig. It was never a sheep in the first place. It was a professing Christian, not a possessing eternal life Christian. He was a professor, not college professor, professor, not a possessor of life. Okay, so I submit to you, the first scenario is that such a person might not be safe in the first place. But Pastor Prince, I really think he's safe. You and I cannot be the judge. We do not know what he believes. He might know the lingo of a Christian. He might, you know. Okay, that's the first scenario. What if he's really a Christian? Okay, then the second scenario comes in. If he's really a Christian, don't think he's having a great time. Because the Father's discipline is coming. And when the Father disciplines, I tell you, you don't want that kind of discipline. But because He loves, He disciplines. I disciplined my son the other day. My 4-year-old, Justin. And he was crying. And I went to him and I said, I did this because I love you. He turned to me with eyes glittering with tears. And he says, literally these are his words. You know, my feelings are hurt. He knows how to express himself. I don't know where he got it from, but I did my very best not to laugh. He says, do you know my feelings are hurt? And I told him this, so are mine. My feelings are hurt. It hurts me more to discipline you because I love you. I said, you're not like a child in the street that nobody cares about. They grow up any way they want. No one disciplines them because no one loves them. But for me, I said, I love you. That's why I discipline you. I don't think he fully got it at that age. But I tell you this, because God loves, God disciplines. So that scenario, let's say he's really a born-again Christian and you think he's enjoying his life and all that. Let me tell you, the way of the transgressor is hard. Your way and my way, his yoke is easy, his burden light. Let me tell you this, they're not enjoying, and the thing is this, the Father will discipline him. And let me tell you this, there are people who teach that God disciplines only through the Word. Now, I believe the primary way God disciplines us, the Father disciplines us, is with His Word. Like right now, do you know that we are being disciplined? All right, not to even go on law ground, for example, we are learning that. We are always under discipline, right? To become, you know, greater manifestations of and representatives of our Lord. But watch this. When someone lives in sin and God disciplines, it's not pleasant. Now, I believe God doesn't give them accidents, but I believe it's not going to be pleasant. A case in point is Jacob. Jacob deceived his father, Isaac, because Isaac was going blind. So when Isaac was about to give the blessing to the firstborn, Esau, who was hairy, and Jacob was smoothie, amen? Amen? So he came to his father and he wrapped himself up with the skin of goats, kids, baby goats. All right. And the father touched him. The father says, you're hairy like Esau, but your voice sounds like Jacob. He deceived his father. Now, was that before the Ten Commandments? Yes. Was Jacob under the blessing of Abraham? Yes. But was there discipline? Oh, yes. How did the father discipline? How did God discipline him? Fast forward many years. His favorite son, Joseph, the one he loved the most, he gave the coat of many colors. One day the brothers came back without the son. And the father says, Where's Joseph? And the brothers came carrying the coat, smeared with the blood. Of course, the brothers sold him and the brother took the blood of goats. Kids. He deceived his father with a kid, and now he's being deceived with the blood of a kid. And they say that, I think a lion got him. I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry, Dad. And he wept and wept. Discipline. He lied to his father. His sons lied to him. He deceived his father. He was deceived by Laban, his boss. His father-in-law. So there is discipline. Thank God when you're being disciplined, thank God. Now, those who teach God only disciplines us with the Word, I got a problem with that because those who need discipline are not in church for the Word. Those who are living in sin, they're not reading the Word. Neither do they want to hearing Pastor Prince sermons. Right? That's why the Bible says about discipline, chastening, Hebrews. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Let's change that to Bible study, okay? Since people say it's only through the word. Now, no Bible study seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Doesn't fit, right? Doesn't seem to fit, right? Right? Doesn't seem to fit. No, no, no. The primary way God disciplines us and all of us is through the word. Let's hope it just stays at the word. Because if we live in sin, we're not reading the word. Nor are we exposed to the preaching of the word. Therefore, God disciplines us with circumstances. You might meet a boss who is worse. Your business might go bankrupt. I'm telling you this, folks. It makes you realize all of a sudden you are coming against something that is not natural. So don't envy the one who's living in sin. Now, having said that, don't put yourself under that. You're not under that. But I'm saying if someone is truly born again, the Father will discipline him. Are you with me so far? But friend, we are pursuing better things of you. You're not living in sin, are you? You do fall into sin, but you don't live in sin. A rubber ball, you can pull a rubber ball and stretch it. But the moment you let it go, it bounces back. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. The devil might pull you sometimes and you fall into sin, but when you let go, you always go back. Because that's really who you are. A pig falling into the mud, as in Peter was saying that a pig wallowing in the mud. It was a pig to begin with. It never was a sheep that went into the mud. A sheep goes in the mud, it starts crying, starts bleating. All right? But a pig that goes into the mud, he says, "Yo, man, this is life, happy hour. Chop, 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 pok, chop. This is life, oink, 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 baby." You might have an excursion into sin. I don't encourage you to sin. In fact, you don't have to sin. We understand grace, you don't have to. But if you do sin, you don't live in it. You always come back. But if somebody is living in it, let go his wife, go for a peahen somewhere. Discipline is coming. And I don't want to be in his shoes. But it's still love that disciplines him. Because it says here, nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So God will deal with that. Okay? But back for you and I, we come back to this Galatians 3 again. Are you a faith, justification by faith, that you are blessed with believing Abraham? Or are you under the works of the law? You're cursed. And it's so subtle that I want to close by saying this before I show you the final verses. I want to tell you that this is a place that you and I cannot afford to be in. All right? We got to make sure that, whoa, we are on grace ground. How do you know you're on grace ground? You're able to address God, not like a distant, but God is so close, closer than your hands and feet, than your breath. You are in the Holy of Holies constantly. God does not see sin on you. Amen? He treats you, amen, like Jesus. He does. We are accepted in the Beloved. Amen? Are you conscious of that? Do you call God Abba or Daddy, Father, Father, Abba, Father? Amen. Do you have a spirit of sonship or a slave? Like the son going down there, going back to the spirit of slave. No. Do you have a spirit of sonship? That's how you know you're on grace ground. Are you operating by believing or by doing? Don't worry about doing. When you believe right, good works will flow. Not dead works. All right? But believing is your mainstay. That's how you live. Can I have a good amen? And all this because of Jesus. I want to close by telling you this. You know what? Jesus has many names and titles. I want to close by asking you this. Can anyone tell me this? Jesus has many names and titles. But in the Gospels, when he addressed himself more often by this title, what is that title? That Jesus will address himself by this title more than any other title. I mean, he's the Son of David. He's the Messiah, the King of Israel, the true vine, the way, the truth, the life, the good shepherd. But of all the titles and the names that he has, Son of God, Son of Man, of all the titles he has, what is one title that he calls himself more often by in the Gospels? Son of Man. Why is that so? Because the Son of Man is a title of the Messiah, when he comes back again, he'll come back as Son of Man to rule from Israel. The whole earth will come under his dominion. And Daniel had a vision, and Daniel says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, the Father God, and they brought him near before him. And see what happens. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, then all peoples, nations, and languages which serve him. His everlasting dominion. Folks, Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, Christians in hiding will be revealed in glory. Christians who are mocked will appear before God in splendor. The sons of God will be manifested. The curse will be removed from the earth. And every knee, whether they believe in him or not, will bow down saying, Jesus Christ is Lord. There'll be no more need for hospitals, no more need for policemen. There'll be peace, righteousness in all the earth. We're waiting for that day. He's coming back. The Bible says very clearly, the first mention of the Son of Man in the Gospels, the very first mention is always something significant. It says here, Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. This is the first mention in the New Testament of the Son of Man. Very significant. Nowhere to lay his head. He who flung the stars into space, he made the universe by him. All things were made. Nothing was not made by him. Everything was created by him. And yet, he has nowhere to lay his head. He came as a servant. I when I think about this, I'm humbled that the Lord of glory came down as a man because in order to die for us, to be our substitute. Don't you love him? But the Father in heaven will see to it that all the rejection of man, all the mockery of man, all the sufferings he went through will be vindicated. The Father will see to it that the head that had nowhere to lay will be a head crown. Watch this. The last mention of Jesus' head. The first mention is nowhere to lay his head. First mention. The last place in the New Testament where you see Jesus' head is this. Revelation. Then I looked and behold a white cloud. And on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown. You and I will see that, folks. The Father will see to it. For every humiliation, for every, you know, step down, there'll be a step up. For everything that he has suffered for us, shame, the Father will crown the glory in the area. And you who suffer with him, like David and his men, David was supposed to be king, but David suffered as a king, being persecuted, hunted down. Amen. Living in foxes and living in caves and foxholes and places like that. And finally, when the day came, he was crowned. All his mighty men were also with him in glory. Because they were with him in persecution. So when people make fun of you as a believer, mark you, every time you are humiliated, every time there's shame, God will see to it you are vindicated. When he appears in glory, you appear with him in glory. Amen. The blood that he shed has made us righteous. The world is blind. Pity them. Amen. But don't let your heart feel like, you know, the world is out there, they're having fun, and you are down here. No, we are enjoying true life, abundant life. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Pastor Joseph Prince will return in a moment with a special prayer to close today's program right after this. In Joseph Prince's book, Will the Real Gospel Please Stand Up? You will find answers to some commonly asked questions about grace, such as, is grace something we need to be wary about? Does grace encourage people to live careless, sinful lives? Is holiness important under grace? Receive your copy when you make a gift of any amount to the ministry in support of our broadcast and outreach initiatives. Have loved ones who will be blessed by this book too? For a gift of $55 or more, you will receive 5 copies of Will the Real Gospel Please Stand Up? Call or text the number on your screen or visit our website to request yours today. And now, a closing word from Pastor Joseph Prince.
God is not a God that's ignorant of all these needs. Your Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. His righteousness is a gift. When you believe that you are righteous by faith, all these things will be added to you. So believers, ask yourself. I didn't ask you whether you know about law and grace. You might be here for many years, 10 years, 12 years. But I'm asking you, effectively, not theoretically, experientially, are you truly on grace ground? Are you under a mindset of supply from God? Or are you under demand from God mentality? Are you under God, what God is for me, which is grace? Or are you under what I am to God, which is the law? Are you under, it's done? Or are you under, I've got to do, I've got to do? Are you under rest? Or are you under stress? And now I want to say a word to all those of you who find yourself in that place. Just tell yourself, can I call God Abba with all sense and consciousness of being loved by Him? Not as a judge, but as a father. Do I know Him as a father? You cannot own it. You cannot feel it. You cannot be conscious of it. You're still in the law. Are you conscious that there's no distance between you and God? That God is not looking at your sin? There's no sin on you in His eyes? All sins have been removed by that one efficacious sacrifice on that cross. Are you conscious of that? Can you stand tall in the Holy of Holies, which you are always in, and know there's not one blot on you in God's eyes? You stand in the fullness of His beloved in Christ. I declare to you that this week the Lord blesses you with the blessings of Father Abraham, the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, and the Lord preserve, keep you and your families from harm, from danger, from terror, from evil, from disease, from death. In Jesus' name. And the Lord make His face shine on you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and grant you shalom, health, wholeness, and peace. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen, amen. Love you all. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for watching today's program. If you are new to the Gospel of Grace, Pastor Joseph Prince would like to send you a copy of his book, Destined to Reign, to help you get started. It's yours absolutely free just by contacting us today. Offer is available to U.S. residents while stocks last. Just pay shipping and handling. Thank you for being with us today. Join Pastor Joseph Prince next time for a fresh word from the Lord. Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.